And welcome into Smashville Live. We are here at Boomba's in Bellevue here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope you're having a great night, everybody. Chase McCabe here with you. And will you please give a round of applause to the president and CEO of the Nashville Predators, Sean Henry. He is in the house.
You just interrupted dinner for about 80 people, and four people clapped, so well, thank you.
I interrupted dinner for you, you know, everyone else.
Well, I'll tell you what I just heard, though. You ruined trivia night. It's supposed to be trivia night at Boomba's, and you ruined it because you're here. So you might have to throw out some trivia questions to,
make sure
Jennifer Spelt is happy. Otherwise, she's going to kill me.
Well, we'll do that. We got some trivia that we could come up with. You can also register to win several things. We have tickets to Saturday's game against the Dallas Stars. Well, what is important about that? The Dallas Stars are also the opponent for the Winter Classic, and you can register to win a Winter Classic jersey that the Predators will be donning. So,
how do you register?
You sign up. We have Cliff from Promotions is here. There is a sign-up box right next to us, and you just put your name in that, and then we will draw some winners at the end of the show. It's a very simple and easy process.
That it is. The fact is, if you're here, you're a winner.
Exactly. Well, because you're here.
Well, and you are, too. I'm just glad you're, you know, a mile from my house.
Yeah. Not yeah. Well,
and
not
now
my
dinner just came. I'm staring. I'm salivating. And so if you hear me chewing in the background, I apologize.
So I was thinking about this when I found out you were going to be the guest.
I'm glad you were thinking about it because I've given no thought to the show. So
well, look, I got you.
You did. And once I heard you were doing it, I was happy.
Yeah, I'm excited because we've gotten to spend some time together lately and talk about a lot of things. And I said, okay, what was going to be the first question that I asked Sean Henry?
Because you're not going to ask me that same dumb question again, are you?
About jerseys? No.
No, not that. That was a good question. It's not the dumb one.
No. Why do you do what you do? And let me set this up by saying, if you come to a Predators game, you walk in off Broadway into the main entrance, you see Sean Henry. He's walking around the arena. He's coming and doing events like this as the president and CEO of a company, not just a sports team. I mean, you don't see that a lot. You don't see a lot of the head people of the franchise out and about mingling with the fans. But that's something that you have done since the very beginning, since you got here. Hard to believe, about 10 years ago.
Yeah, it's been a long time now.
Why do you do that? Why did you decide that this is how I'm going to be?
You know, I it's funny. I hate that question. I really, really do.
I thought you'd love that question.
No, because it makes it seem like hanging out with our fans and being on the concourse is something special, and I just don't think it is. Unfortunately, it is unique in our industry and some, and I don't understand it. You know, for me, I'm pretty fortunate. I get a chance to work in sports. I have my entire life. And what I love is I've never not been a fan. You know, so who do you want to be with when you're a fan? You want to be with other people that love the team, love what's going on. And what I tell everyone is I'm pretty fortunate. At the end of an 8, 9, 10-hour day, we have 17,000 people waiting to get in the building who are excited and upbeat and they want to be, you know, part of something. So for me, it's selfish. It's going down there and hanging out and really picking your own energy level up a little bit. Plus, I'm a fat man. I like to eat at the concessions. You know, so if you don't see me at the doors, I'm normally at the build your own hot dog stand. But I also think it's important for me. I sit in our seats. All of our owners sit in seats, not the suite.
Yep.
And I think that is what makes our organization a little bit different. When we talk about investing in the building or investing in programs, it's because you're truly hearing unfiltered what we should do, how we should do it. You know what's going on. You come in the same door. You park in the same place. And I think that's really important. And there are a few businesses where you have 17,000 people doing a focus group live right in front of you, and they're willing to give their feedback. Sometimes it's not always fun.
Yeah.
It's not always pleasant, but it's always
valuable. I've witnessed both with you.
Yeah.
I've seen people coming up to compliment you, and I've seen people coming up to complain to you.
Yeah, and both are valuable. The complaints are better than the compliments. Compliments make you feel good. You know, last night I was walking out with my daughter. It felt great about the game. It was a fun game. It was a playoff atmosphere. And a couple guys stopped me to talk about how great something was. And it was nice. And then someone hit me at the very end that they didn't have a great experience with something. And it's great. You get to write the name down real fast. You can fix it tomorrow. That person becomes a bigger advocate for what we are. We'll get in the car, and my daughter said, "Dad, why do you have to listen to that?" I said, "Well, because we have this car and our house and everything else because of it. But more importantly, it makes us the best organization in sports, and we are the best organization in sports because we have the best fans in sports." And I say that not falsely, we have the very best fans in sports. They care. They love this team. They embraced the team when we got here. They saved the team 10 years ago. And then they created the most unique, special environment there is in all sports. And we get celebrated for it.
Yeah, and I think that's what's so cool about this organization and the ownership group. They're a group of fans. I mean, that's what they were.
They're all day one season ticket holders.
They were season ticket holders, and they, you know, that everything was going on with the team and the sale of the team, and, you know, does it leave and go to Hamilton, Ontario, and they get right together and like, no, this is our team. And now you see where this thing has gone, some, what, 15 years later almost.
And the core of that group, you know, former chairman Herb Fritsch, our former chairman Tom Segrin, you know, to the Thompsons, Dobberpools, they're at almost every single game. And what's great about it is they're wearing their jerseys and hats and you know, pullovers, and they are today what they were 22 years ago, and it really is special. And again, when we need to invest in something, the answer is always yes, number one. And part of it is they believe in what we're building, and they give us a lot of autonomy to run the franchise, but they also realize what's needed because they're sitting there every single game. They're at youth hockey games with their kids or grandkids, and it really makes a big difference. We have guys that live here, love being here, are philanthropic, but most importantly realized what this team did for the city, what it did for their own businesses, what it did for their own lives, and they jumped in when the rest of our fans did, or our mayor or governor did, to save the team 10, 12 years ago.
I've heard you say a lot, and I kind of learned this growing up in the restaurant business with my family, of, you know, you can never get complacent. You have to always make improvements. You have to always change and be evolving, and that's something that you guys have done with Bridgestone Arena, that there's some major upgrade every summer. This year we got Fang Vision. That was a big part of it. You redid the seats a few years ago, the ribbon boards, concessions continue to be an ever-changing thing, adding so many amenities, and you just added an arcade as well.
Yeah, it's funny. We're flirting with close to $100 million in renovations in the past 8, 9, 10 years. And the big things are visible. They're easy, but there's a lot of hidden investments too, the HVAC system, the lighting, all those things. But you also have to do something fun every month. That's what I believe. And it was the roller coaster jersey last year. It's the arcades that we debuted Saturday. And they're not all big, but it's those small little things that make a big difference. Call it the pothole mentality. You know, you have a great day. You hit that pothole, coffee spills in your pants, you're angry.
Right.
You take that anger or that worry away, that small thing that most people think is small, you take that away, make something a little bit more pleasant, and it makes the whole night better. And that's what we try to do. And, again, we're pretty fortunate. We have 300 full-time employees, 800 event staff, and, you know, a couple hundred thousand fans that are so willing to say, did you think about this, or what the heck were you thinking with fill in the blank? And I laugh. I don't mind being wrong. I love the fact that we have a couple hundred employees that don't mind being wrong, because if you're going to try a lot of things, you better be willing to be wrong, and you better be willing to change when you should. Not immediately, not automatically, but, you know, when everyone's saying a certain thing, you should listen and figure out how to, you know, factor that a little bit better.
When I see something new pop up at the arena, whether it's, you know, I guess it's been 5 or 6 years, the Barrel House, that was just empty space. That was, you turn that into something. And there have been so many instances where a store has popped up in the arena.
Yep.
Or the new pro shop. Which
everyone knows I hate storage rooms.
Yeah.
And I hate dead space. But the funniest thing about it, there are a handful of people that each project is going to benefit the most. Sometimes it's our players or performers or employees or our fans or our partners. And we always like to hit, you know, two or three of those constituents on everything we do. But sometimes you get the biggest pushback from the people that are going to benefit the most. And it's funny you talk about Barrel House. Remember, we built a studio in there.
Yep.
And there were some people maybe with your organization who were absolutely against it, remember? Because we were in that great place. We were under a stairwell.
By the window.
It was cold and drafty. Yeah. No one could get in. You know, they could see it through the glass. So say, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And I remember there were a handful of people saying, well, if we move there, will people find us? I was like, what are you, a schmuck? Of course you're going to find us. It's a round building. Number one. Number two, it's going to be cool. It's going to be character-filled. Right. We're going to be able to let people get in those back doors and in and out and have it, you know, flow a little bit better. But that is always the thing that makes me laugh. People that are so afraid of change.
Scares
that,
people.
Yeah. I mean, how far did we move that studio? 110 yards?
Yeah.
Whatever it may have been. And we built something cool.
And you can't move in there now.
Yeah. And those are the people that, like, I won't listen to. You know, those are the groundhogs. You know, the people that only pop their heads out of the ground to tell you what's wrong or why it won't work. I like surrounding myself with people that see the possibility in every goofy idea. You put it out. You plan it well. You correct it. You change it. You alter it. You correct it. and then it thrives, or you get rid of it.
We are in Bellevue at Boomba's. He is Sean Henry, the president and CEO of the Nashville Predators. Chase McCabe here with you on Smashville Live. Speaking of Bellevue.
Charlie Tiger just walked out. Former city council member.
I saw Charlie Tiger.
Without Charlie, there is no arena. Without Charlie, there is no team. Without Charlie, there's no team that was saved in 2007. So I know he's in his car right now. So, Charlie, officially, just want to say thank you for loving Bellevue and the city more than any person I've ever met.
Yep. Charlie Tiger knows my family very well, know him.
So. He was bragging to me about that just a minute ago at the bar.
Yep.
He did not pick up my tab, by the way. So,
well,
he's not that great.
Okay. Yeah. That's okay.
Charlie, there's still time if you want to make a U-turn.
So when we come back, though, there is a building here in Bellevue that I want to ask you about that hasn't been open very long, but we will get into that when we come back. It is Smashville Live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Red Spirits and Wine, and Yeehaw Beer. We are live at Boomba's in Bellevue on Nashville's Best Sports Talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Smashville Live. We're at Boomba's on Highway 100 in Bellevue. Chase McCabe and the president and CEO of the Nashville Predators, Sean Henry, here with you. All of our Smashville Live coverage brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Red Spirits and Wine, and Yeehaw Beer. You can come out tonight and register to win a pair of tickets to the game Saturday against the Dallas Stars, and also we'll be giving away a Winter Classic jersey. We'll discuss a lot of that. The Road to Dallas, a special that Ryan Porth and I have been doing, we actually sat down with Sean, and he will be our next guest, which will air Saturday leading into Predators coverage. That is a 5:30 puck drop in Smashville. So I mentioned Bellevue, and there is a brand spanking new building that you guys opened just a couple of months ago, Ford Ice Bellevue. And I remember when Antioch opened, and it was the first question was, okay, when's the next one? Well, finally get to the next one, and how have things been going so far out here in Bellevue?
Oh, it's been great. You know, we opened a month early or so and still finishing some of the details, but it's a beautiful, beautiful building. Again, we're partnered with the parks, and you can't ask for a better partner than Metro Parks and what Monique and her staff do. They've built something so special with that rec center, which opened Saturday, the grand opening, just like we did in Antioch with the rec center, the library, the park, and then obviously Ford Ice Center. And it's just so much fun to build something that we all need. We need more ice. We need more areas for kids to play, to get out, you know, make healthy choices. But to be able to build one in Antioch could be the first wave of development and economic impact and boom, what's happening. And then have a developer in Bellevue say, I'm not doing this project unless this happens too. Right. So it was all part of it as well. So we kind of saw both ends of the domino fall, if you will, of what an ice center, community center can do to drive other development in parts of town that there was no new development on. So it's spectacular. We already had three huge tournaments.
Yeah.
The very first one, almost before we should have opened. Water was on, it was off, it was all over the place. But I think we had 35 teams from around North America come. Then we had another tournament 2 weeks ago. Last weekend we had four of the best female college programs in the nation come here, probably half of the U.S. Olympic team. You know, we saw on our own Bellevue Ice. And then, of course, what Scott Hamilton does out there is nothing but incredible. Teaching kids how to skate in the right way, falling, getting up and laughing. When my boys learned how to skate, they were angry the night we left that first time. They never wanted to come back. And that's the story most people will tell about learning to play or learning to skate the first time. My daughters learned here under the Scott Hamilton umbrella. And the way we embraced it, you know, the way he coaches it, kids can't wait to get back, even though they fell the same way and everything. But it really is special. We're so proud of it.
And we've talked to Danny Butler, who does a tremendous job running the Ford Ice Centers.
He really does.
For you guys. And, you know, obviously it adds a lot more to his plate. It adds a lot more to everyone's plate. But that was always the goal, to have multiple facilities and to take what you learned with Antioch and what you built with Antioch and then make it better. And that's exactly what you've done with Ford Ice Bellevue is – taking all the things that worked and then improved on the things that maybe needed some tweaking.
Yeah, you're always learning.
Yeah.
And it's just great. And, you know, we said we want a positive announcement every 18 months or something positive to happen with the rink construction. We stayed on that schedule. We'll never build them fast enough. We'll never build them, you know, in the exact place somebody wants them. But, you know, in Clarksville, just last week, a big vote happened as well. ideally moving a project forward there that would end up being two ice centers, a 5,000-6,000 seat arena. Ideally, Austin Peay will play the basketball games there. We have two more sheets of ice that will run up there as well. And we just had some really good conversations with another county, neighboring Davidson County. And it's good just to see it getting easier and easier and easier because of the success of the two Ford Ice Centers.
Well, and the thing, too, that I look at, Sean, is the youth hockey and, you know, just building the next fan. I mean, this is the year of the fan. You have season ticket holders that have been here since day one, but there are also people like me that, you know, the first half of my life, I didn't really know much about hockey. Mm-hmm. And then the Predators got here, and I started learning and went to games. But then you have, you know, I'll use Maddox McFarland, Darren McFarland's son. He doesn't know what life without the Predators is like. And there are so many kids that are that way that want to learn more about hockey and they want to play hockey, and having all those sheets of ice help them do that.
Oh, it really does. And, you know, the second part of it is now the franchise is almost, you know, 20, 22 years old. You have that 25, 28-year-old that doesn't remember a non-Predator day.
Yeah.
You have 8, 9, 10-year-olds that don't even think about not having the Preds.
Like,
you
know, wait, just the team wasn't here? What?
Yeah, I mean, it's just bizarre. And then, you know, you build the rinks. We're never going to pay a player's salary off those rinks. You know, we make or lose money. And that 8-year-old that's playing today, while it might become a pretty big fan, that probably won't turn into someone come through a turnstile for 10, 20 years. But it's okay. That's what it's about. We're building something that's going to stand for 50, 60, 100, 150 years. When people look back on our game 100 years from now, like we do, looking back on the very early days of the NHL, we don't talk about the Predators in the same way we revere the Canadians, if you will, and their cups and their quality and the shield, what it means, the quality. That's what we're really building, something that we as a community can continue to be really, really proud of, invest in today, so in 10, 20, 100 years, you look back and think, oh, my gosh, it is an amazing association with the community, and look what it's done for all of us.
I may have told you this before, but I remember the first time that I saw a concept similar to this, I probably had just started college, and my cousin lives in Dallas, Texas, and so I was down there visiting family, like a family reunion type deal, and he played hockey. And the Dallas Stars had done a lot with, I think they're called the Star, the centers that they build.
Yep.
Dr. Pepper Center. And we went to watch him play, and it was the same kind of deal of what the Ford Ice Centers have become here. And I saw that, and I'm like, man, this is a cool concept to have. And that was around the time that, you know, the new ownership had taken over. And so you kind of thought maybe something like that would come along. Well, now we've seen it.
Yeah, and it's funny. When you look at Dallas and what they did, they were so smart. You know, they're relocating from a hockey market in Minnesota. Yeah. And it was really part of their plan. We're going to move down there, and we're going to build X number of rinks, and other cities want it. And, you know, they only control a handful of those, you know, two or three of them. But other people saw it and started building it as well. And it really is something that I really believe every expansion team should do that the year before they start playing. And it's a shame so many of us are catching up to it. You know, the same thing happened here in 1997, 98, 99, 2000. We probably never would have talked about 2007,
right?
And or 2008 with the rally, but you know, we're catching up to that now, and you know, it's something that's really fun, and it's so much more rewarding. As I said earlier, when Carl Dean had the vision of building the first one in Antioch, we weren't so sure.
Yeah,
but he said, "Look, if you guys do what you say you can do, it's going to be really easy to build the second one, the third one, the fourth one, the fifth one, because we're going to fundamentally change how people view Antioch, who's investing in Antioch, and what's opening in Antioch." And that's exactly what happened.
How important is it that as now you have these two that you guys, and I mentioned Danny Butler, you know, are running, that with the next ones you have communities that start to get a part of it? You guys help the process along, say, hey, this is how we did it, and, you know, start that, but then they're the communities themselves.
Well, that's the best day. It really is. And we always say we will work with any city or county or whatever entity it is on any level, from nothing more than tell them what temperature to make the water to make it ice, how to paint something gold, or we'd run it and, you know, potentially invest in it as well as we did with the first two. But we really don't want to run them completely, but we're in that boat right now. So our attitude is, then let's run them better than any ice rink in the country's run. Let's make it cleaner than any, more inviting than any, more communicative than any. And, you know, my kids have played a lot of hockey and still do. There are certain rinks you go into that you wouldn't even use the restroom.
Yeah.
there are rinks that you're a part of a league that you don't get an email for 2 years. Or you check out their website, and the schedule literally is from a year ago. And the mandate that we gave to Danny, a guy that didn't skate, you know, loves sports, loves guest services, used to coordinate all of our concerts, you know, really got what we were, was let's just make sure Fordyce Center is the most inviting, fun, friendly, clean place there is. Let's concentrate on rec hockey. Let's build that foundation much bigger, because if we do that, then all the elite hockey will get better and better because you got more players. And inside of just a handful of years, you've seen the transformation at all levels of hockey, for boys and for girls and JV and varsity, and it has been amazing.
It really has. And you know what? This has been amazing so far. You've done a really good job. I'm going to let you eat for a second.
Well, I'm starving, man. I've been staring at this great food at Boomba's.
I can see you staring at it. We are at Boomba's here on Highway 100 in Bellevue for Smashville Live. Sean Henry has been nice enough to hang out. When we come back, we have to get into the big event coming up at the end of the month.
Well, I have a special announcement when we come back on, as a special guest just walked in.
Oh.
A name you're going to hear about a lot in the future.
Okay, that's a tease. That's what we call that in the business. That is next here on Smashville Live on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It is Smashville Live. We're here at Boomba's in Bellevue on Highway 100. Everything brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Red Spirits and Wine, and Yeehaw Beer. Chase McCabe and the president and CEO of the Nashville Predators, Sean Henry, hanging out with you. He is enjoying his dinner and also being able to talk to the people. Be sure to register to win a pair of tickets to Saturday's game against Dallas, and we'll also be drawing a winner for the Winter Classic jersey, and could be a surprise or two added in there as well. But
is that right?
Yeah, how about that?
I'm just trying to get my mouth that full.
I know. See, I'm trying to help you out.
Well, I appreciate it. You can carry the show.
Speaking of the Winter Classic, again, the road to Dallas airs on Saturday leading up to Predators coverage against the Dallas Stars. And we sat down, Ryan and I sat down with you the other day and just talked about in depth the process of going into planning this thing. But that just when you got the call from the NHL, this is how I started the conversation the other day. What was that whole moment like to know, all right, this organization has checked another box and they're going to be a part of another big event?
Well, it's pretty rewarding and so flattering, like we were talking about, because, you know, we've been talking to them for a long time about how do we get involved in more and more of the showcase events. And there's no bigger planned event than the Winter Classic, you know, Bridgestone Winter Classic. The bigger event, of course, you don't plan for, but you work for every day, and that's the Stanley Cup. And what most people don't realize is by being named the visiting team in the Winter Classic, that's actually bigger than being the home team, because it is the league saying, your fan base is so good and so strong, we know if you put you in fill-in-the-blank city, your fans are going to show up in record numbers. And that's what happened. I don't know. We have 20, 25,000 tickets were sold in our market for the Winter Classic. That's incredible. It wasn't that many years ago. If I would have told you that we'd have 25,000 people at a game anywhere, you would have laughed, let alone driving or flying, you know, to Texas for, you know, a holiday event. And we're going to show up, and it's going to be a Smashville takeover. We're going to have the Smashville Stampede, and it's going to be fun. So getting that call really was, to me, rewarding because it was complimenting our fans. It really was.
I do, you know, these profile pieces for a pregame show. And so at the start of training camp, I get some time with the players to record some of that. And so I was asking them all about the Winter Classic and, you know, what how excited they were to play in it. And I made mention of, you know, there's going to be about 25,000 people coming from Nashville. And Ryan Johansson looked at me and was like, are you serious? And I'm like, that's just the dedication of the fan base.
It really is. And I didn't love the timing of when we put it on sale because it was right at the start of the playoffs. And, you know, sometimes, you know, that could get lost and you don't want people, you know, making a choice between coming to the playoff game or maybe that or just missing the communication because of it. And, you know, Dallas fans, they blew it up. We blew it up. People from around the country are coming. Such an intriguing matchup. It's in a great venue, so historic. And what I love about it is neither the Stars nor us were around when the Cotton Bowl was in its heyday, or, you know, when it really was one of the centers of the big football games on New Year's Day. So we both had to create our own history to align with the history in our own city to really pay tribute to the 40s, 50s, 60s of college football, mixing in with the best sport of all, and that, of course, is hockey.
And that's how you got the concept for the jersey of, you know, you pulled obviously from the Dixie Flyers and that theme from that same era, but the shoulder patch as well.
Yeah, so designing a jersey is fun for a special event because you do it on your own. The league does it on their own, and Adidas does it on their own. And then you kind of come together, and the idea is you're going to take a little piece of here or there or argue and yell and blend it together. And uniformly, we all had the Dixie Flyers in mind. It may be represented a few different ways by each one of us. We all knew that we had to recreate our main logo, tie into the fun of Nash, or our mascot, to create something that looked like a college football logo or a varsity jacket, paying homage to the Dixie Flyers, of course. And what we knew is nobody would appreciate our jersey until they actually saw it live, because the actual texture of the jersey itself.
Yeah.
You got the, you know, felt feel like it's your varsity letter or, you know, your jacket, whatever it may be. Playing with the logos, you know, for, you know, the shoulder patch and taking, you know, Nash, if you will, and distorting it a little bit where it looked like something that really was drawn in the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. And it really was fun. And then, of course, playing with the elongated cat, we created something pretty special, and it really was fun.
I think it's cool, too, that this event has grown so much since it started, a little over 10 years ago. And, you know, Winter Classic, you hear that, and there were some featured – some of the teams featured were some of the northern teams and the older teams. But now they are going around. I mean, the Nashville Predators, Dallas Stars, and those two fan bases have grown so much over the last 20 years that – the league looked at it as, okay, it's time. Let's do one of those things. I think that just shows you the evolution of the league.
Oh, it really does. And, you know, all of our markets, you know, want to do every big event. At the same time, the league has to be strategic about what markets are going to be playing in them. And a lot of it falls to us, the team, and our fans to create something so special. And we've talked about it. You know, we were given the draft to help elevate who we were, what we are across the landscape of the league. And no one at the time did a draft better than Nashville in 03, and the draft itself was pretty good for us as to who we got that year. And then we got the All-Star Game. You know, Gary Bettman told the mayor, he told us, build a convention center that can house our fan event and continue to grow that business where you are, and then throw us something that's unique, that's different, that we can literally change the course of the All-Star Game, and that's what we did. You know, we spilled out to the streets, in and out, free concerts. It really became a 3-4-5-day celebration or an event, and we literally changed the format of the game, too.
Yeah.
We're setting it up differently. And as you do that, you're building more passion across, you know, the landscape. We're registering ratings, you know, for our games in Memphis, Chattanooga, and all across our TV market. And then our national games, which, you know, we have the maximum number of games on national TV the past couple of years, we're registering ratings for our games in cities that don't have hockey teams that are identified as Preds fans. So it really made it a little bit easier for them to say, Dallas has to play, the Preds have to play, and, you know, it really is cool. And then before we even played in this event, boom, we're playing in Europe as well. We're going to be featured over there. So it really is such a nice compliment to what our fans have created, making this so easy for the league to say, of course, Nashville is going to be showcased.
Yeah, and that's you bring up Europe, and I know I've talked to some of the – you know, like Roman Josi, of course, training camp is going to be in Switzerland, and then go you know, play the game overseas, of course, in Prague. And I think that just shows you how the fan base is continuing to grow, but the team's footprint growing in the league. And I can't wait for that one. I have to figure out how to go over there because I've never been. So
well,
I
you
really
got Long
check
Dollar,
it out.
You know, behind you. Bud will send you over there. Probably send you over in his own private plane, and we'll be broadcasting from. Bern, and then over in, you know, Prague. It's going to be great. But it really will be special because, you know, when, you know, our biggest signing of our franchise obviously was what we just did with Roman, and it was so great to have both happening at the same moment.
Yeah.
Obviously, we knew we were going to play in Europe. You know, we had that all locked down. Once we were able to announce the signing of Roman, then you announced the European games right after, and it really had a nice, you know, flow to it. But, you know, he and Weber are so excited basically playing, you know, where they grew up, which is special.
Yep.
And then, you know, Prague is just an amazing city, and the hockey culture there is incredible. So we get to be the feature game of launching the season, and it's going to be fun.
You look at the eras of this franchise, and I've asked David Poyle this question a few times about, you know, the early days and then getting to the playoffs, winning a playoff game, the Mike Fisher era, acquiring him, you know, Shea Weber matching the contract, how that changes things. Signing Roman Josi to a long-term deal for this organization, to me, takes it into another era.
Yeah, it really does. And this really started when our ownership group, Tom Seeger and Herb Fritch, took control of the team and literally said, our goal is to compete at the highest level year in, year out, put ourselves in a position where we can win a Stanley Cup. Let's be the number one venue in America, and let's take the word no out of our vocabulary. And it changed. And it wasn't just a matter of saying let's be the best. It was putting resources behind it. So I'm so grateful to them. But it really started when we signed Pekka into that 7-year extension on his birthday. He had a shutout that day. And, you know, that was the fall before, you know, we matched Shea Weber's deals. The fall before really the real good things happened. But he believed in this franchise. He believed in our vision, our ownership group, how we manage the entire enterprise. And I don't think you can give Pekka enough credit for believing in what we said we could be and where we were going. If he doesn't do that, I don't know what we become. But he said, no, I'm in. He didn't have to do it then. He could have waited till free agency and just let's see what's out there. And obviously we would have been the number one recruited free agent, you know, that summer. But we have to give him so much more credit than I think we do from time to time, because that really was, it started there, and then it rolled in, obviously, you know, locking in Shea Weber, and then it allowed us to start doing things on a bigger scale, making some trades, knowing that we'd have to lock that player into a 6-year deal, 8-year deal, 7-year deal, and knowing that we could do that. Giving David Poile the ability to look down the road 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years and constructing a salary structure that was going to make us a cap team virtually every year, but being able to layer them from a timing standpoint, I mean, there's nothing better for one of the most talented GMs in sports to have that ability.
You knew who he was, obviously, from your time in Tampa, but when you came here and got to know David Poile on more of a personal level and, you know, get to have daily meetings and talk to him, what was that like in the early days for you? I mean, just knowing that at that point his resume was already, you know, pretty awesome.
Well, I knew David a little bit, you know, before I came here. Obviously, his reputation I knew. I mean, he's the gentleman of the league, and he is smarter and more prepared than anyone else that's in that room. And being able to work with him every day, it's special. And, you know, David and I probably talk 2, 3, 4 times a day on the phone. We visit on each other 6 or 8 times a day, just real popping each other's offices real fast. That's the way I like it. That's the way he likes it. But I do know one thing. When David says something, you know that there's so much research, so much preparation behind that, you know, decision that he's making or recommendation, and it's so much fun to work with someone like that because it gives you such confidence. And he's just a great guy to be around, fun guy. He loves the game more than any person I've ever worked with. He knows that the better our game is, the better it is for the Predators, but it's always about what makes this a great game first as we find our own role in it. And that's a good reminder for someone like me to have once in a while that, you know, the game is first. The league is first. We'll never be a successful team if the game isn't in the best possible condition. And that's why he works so hard on so many other fronts. Competition committee, he works with the Hall of Fame, he works with USA Hockey. He cares about every level of hockey, and we're just lucky to have him.
Yeah, it's cool, too, to see him work alongside his son, Brian, now. And we've had Brian on Darren Donovan Chase a few times when David's been out of town, and you can see a lot of David in him, but you can see how they're different as well.
Oh, they are, and that's what's nice. And, you know, it's third generation. I mean, people forget, you know, David Poile's father launched franchises. I mean, he built the Bad Boy Flyer team, you know, won the cup right after he left. And it's just an incredible legacy of a family. And, you know, people don't realize, you know, Brian's pedigree away from his name and what he's done over the past 10 years with us. He worked in the Stars system at all levels, from, you know, the Stars down to their minor league system. And, again, when he came here, it was right about when I arrived as well, it was another reinvestment in the hockey operations department, getting a little deeper and more talent. And he just happened to have the same last name. But, I mean, he was a star for a lot of franchises looking at him.
He is Sean Henry, the president and CEO, the star of this show tonight. We are here at Boomba's in Bellevue for Smashville Live. When we come back, we'll wrap things up by getting to know you outside of hockey a little bit. We'll just we'll tease it there.
Well, let's not go too deep on
right? Not too deep, but just a little bit of what Sean Henry likes to do when he's not working, which you're always working, so that could be tough to answer.
Give out some prizes,
We're going to give out prizes. I'm getting there. We're going to give out prizes. You can register to win. We got tickets on the line to Saturday's game. We have a Winter Classic jersey on the line as well. So got a few more minutes before we draw. All of this brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Red Spirits and Wine, and Yeehaw Beer here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We have had a good day here on Smashville Live. We're at Boom Boz here in Bellevue on Highway 100. Here in just a few minutes, Sean, we are going to draw winners. And I said there might be some surprises.
I can't wait to see what the surprise is.
I said you could register to win a pair of tickets to Saturday's game. And we're also giving away a Winter Classic jersey. What I did not say is we are actually giving multiple pairs of tickets away to Saturday's game. And then the last winner is not only going to win a pair of tickets, but they get that Winter Classic jersey as well.
I'll tell you what, I think if we add a Cubana sandwich, then it's a great night.
That is a great
night. This is the best sandwich in the city.
You finally got to finish
it. I'm not completely done. Like, I'm dying to take that last bite, but I'll wait until we're done.
The last bite is waiting on you.
Last bite of sandwich is always the best.
We'll draw some winners here in just a few minutes. Cliff from Promotions in the house tonight to help with that. So I said, you know, usually on Smashville Live, we take a segment to kind of get to know the players a little better, more away from hockey. And as I joked, you work all the time because all of these ideas, I mean, they don't just magically invent themselves, and you have a staff behind you. But when you're not at Bridgestone Arena, when you're not working, when you're not planning, what do you like to do?
Hanging with you.
Well, I mean,
this is it.
That's it.
This is as good as it gets. No, you know, I'm pretty fun, fortunate. We have four great kids, you know, two boys, two girls, between 12 and 24. My wife is always up for anything. We love having people over. You're hard-pressed to go to our house and not see two or three other cars there, whether it be the kids' friends or neighbors or, you know, friends we made from around the country. And that's what we like to do. We like to entertain. We like to have people over. Like to try to build things at my house and hobbies, and I break a lot of things and spend a lot of money fixing it, you know, for someone else. But for the most part, we do things together. And you know, our kids keep us really busy. Now my oldest son graduated college. My younger one's in college. My daughter's in high school. Youngest one's in middle school. They have so many activities when we're not doing something.
Yeah.
We're with them. You know, tomorrow night we have a Christmas concert. Tonight was play tryouts. Hockey's on Tuesday nights on the weekend, which is the best thing in the world. I remember someone asked me once. I've only had two job interviews my entire life. The one I got this and the one I got out of college. And I walked out of that one. And I remember Tom Seger said to me, "So what are your hobbies?" And it really hit me hard. I said, and I stammered. I said, "Well, I guess my kids, because, you know, that's really what it is. I mean, you're just so busy, and it's the best time of your life, you know, whether you're driving them around or fortunate enough to be able to go to their things." So, again, for us, it's entertaining. It's laughing at our house. We love to cook, love to eat. Most importantly, we love to have people over, and just the more people, the better. Thanksgiving, I think we have 45 people over.
Oh, cool.
Christmas will be the same type of thing. And for us, you know, really Christmas starts around November 1st. And, you know, you take an intermission with Thanksgiving. But it really is. It's about a 60-day run-up of a lot of fun, a lot of celebrations, a lot of doing things that you get excited about. And then, of course, you know, we have a lot of charities that are pretty near and dear to our heart. And I laugh when people say, "How do you do that? You're so busy, yet you serve on this board, or you guys are involved in this." And part of it is if your kids get excited about something, you got to get behind that. And there are certain causes in town that, you know, we have to do. And, again, if it weren't for my wife, Tracy, I don't know how we do any of it. But, you know, she loves everything we do. She loves coordinating it. But, you know, her spirit of giving back is really incredible, too. And you know what else we do? We go to a lot of hockey games together. I mean, I'm really fortunate that, you know, all six of us love going to games, whether it be in our building or somewhere else. And, you know, I can't wait, you know, to celebrate New Year's, you know, with all of us there. And we'll have a lot of friends there as well. But the core is always there. And we'll all probably see five or six games somewhere else in the country together over the course of the year. Last year I took my daughter on fall break of all places. I said, "We'll go to any hockey game you want, wherever it is in the country." Assuming she was going to pick L.A. or Miami or Tampa, maybe New York or Chicago, she picked Winnipeg.
Really?
And Winnipeg is a really good city. You know, a lot of people don't realize that. But if you have a choice going to fall break almost anywhere in North America,
that's not the first choice that pops to mind.
But again, that's how we're wired in our family. I said, why Winnipeg?
It's a cool atmosphere.
She said, we've never been there. It looks neat, Dad. Yeah. So that is what we do. We go to hockey games, sporting events, and we laugh a lot.
The family aspect is very important. And one thing that I've noticed with you, too, is, you know, you've embraced Nashville as home. It's more than just, you know, getting out there and saying, well, the Predators, you know, we're doing what we want to do for the city and all of that. You actually do that on a personal level. You mentioned the charities and everything that you're a part of.
Yeah, and it's funny. I came here because I really fell in love with this ownership group. I knew that we could do great things. I loved the passion of the fans. We needed to grow how many there were at the time. And I loved the idea of working with David Poile. But I came for the job, and honestly, in a day or two or three, I realized how special this place was to live. And, you know, knock on wood, you know, this is where, you know, I'll end up dying. Yeah. And not for a long time, I hope. But it really is. It's just such a great place to be. And because you have such a good base of those that are from here and a pretty good healthy group that are, you know, come in, you can get as involved as you want to. But you have to get involved and you have to do it for the right reasons. And if you don't, I think you cast yourself out. And I just like that. It's a very sincere place to live. I did not understand what the volunteer state meant until I was here. You know, I got here the summer after the flood when a lot of the remediation, the bulk of it was done. There was still a lot of work to do. There's still some work to do. But who saved Nashville from that natural disaster? Nashville.
Yep.
Other places in the country, natural disaster hits, and waves from outside come in. And that hit me hard that summer, you know, how much everyone in this community loves on each other and will pick each other up. And that's contagious. It really is. So it's been a great place to get immersed in, and for me, my wife, and my kids. It's been really, really nice.
It's funny. I talk to people about how, you know, they want to change the city and make it better, but also how it's changed them.
And it really does. That's a good way to put it. It changes you, and it reminds you what's important, your family, your neighbors, and making other things better. And as you're doing that, of course, you elevate yourself, too.
All right, let's make some people happy. Let's do this.
You do it. I don't pull names because if someone doesn't win, they get mad at me. So now one person will get happy with you, but 63 people are going to be mad at you, Chase.
All right, so this is for a pair of tickets to Saturday's game. You do not have to be present to win.
But if you are, you might get a hug from Chase, too.
Emmy Sanderson. Emmy Sanderson is our first winner. So there's one.
And she won a pair of tickets.
Won a pair of tickets. Cliff from Promotions will give you a call. All right. Winner number two.
There's something funny about having Cliff at a bar, isn't it?
Yeah.
I keep looking for Norm, you know?
Norm!
Thank you for getting it.
Okay, you got to help me with his last name. John.
Sean Henry.
Well, you don't need tickets.
Oh. John.
Kritzner? That's what we're going with.
We're calling Kritzner for Cliff to call.
There's winner number two.
Didn't anyone stay for dessert? Good God.
I don't know.
I'm getting some dessert.
I want to hear a woo at some point.
We might have to artificially make one up in a moment.
Let's get one from the bottom here. Brennan Fincham. No woos. There we go.
This is awful.
Like, I know. I wanted a woo.
You know, the next one has to be here.
Yes, because the next one is going to win a pair of tickets and the Winter Classic jersey.
Cliff, they can't hear us. You got to yell their names for us, man.
Haley Jameson.
Haley Jameson. Put it back in the box. She can't win. She's not here.
Well, you don't have to be present to win.
I thought
she's here.
Oh, she is here. Woo!
There we go. Winter Classic jersey and a pair of tickets to Saturday's game.
She's not getting it unless she runs up here and woos.
So we have made some people happy tonight, which is what we try to do, Sean.
And that's it.
That's it. Look, we gave away four pairs of tickets and a jersey.
I thought it was more than that.
That's pretty something, isn't it? That's something right there.
So last week, or 2 weeks ago, when you guys bumped me for Mike Fisher, you didn't give away that many things, did you?
No.
But then again, when you have Mike Fisher, you don't have to give away that many things.
Were you offended to be bumped by Mike Fisher, or is that kind of a compliment?
One of the best days of my life was being able to tell my mother and my wife, yeah, no big deal, but I got bumped by Mike Fisher.
I mean,
now, there are certain people who get bumped by, like, hey, what did I do wrong?
Right.
But he is special. And he was in our suite last night. We auctioned off a night with Mike Fisher, J.P. Dumont, Jay Moore. And what a great guy. I mean, he is always giving back. He knows how special it is for, you know, some fans to be able to sit with him and the other guys and just watch a hockey game a little bit differently. And he's just so giving of his time. We're lucky that he and Carrie have made this their home.
Yeah.
And this community will benefit from that for years and years and years to come.
Sean, this has been a lot of fun.
It has been. Thank you for dinner. I assume you're picking it up.
Cliff from Promotions is picking it up. So I'm just kidding. But I appreciate
it. Look at Jeff Kolb over there. He's got a big credit card.
Yeah, we'll let him get it.
Well, thank you so much for this. And
yeah.
Thank you to all staff at Boom Buzz. This is just a great place, and it's only a mile from my house, so it's even better.
Not far at all. Sean, have a great night. Appreciate everyone for coming out. Boom Buzz here in Bellevue, and all of our sponsors, New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Red Spirits and Wine, and Yeehaw Beer. For Sean Henry, I am Chase McCabe. Stick around. Penalty Box Radio is next.